I'd like to share some thoughts with you today concerning the friend of the bridegroom. And I'd like to share my thoughts basically from John chapter 3 and the scripture that Sister Coco just read there, beginning with about verse 27. The background for this part of John chapter 3 is there was some conflict among the disciples of John. I'm thankful that the Bible tells the good as well as the bad. There was conflict at times among the disciples of Jesus. There was conflict among the disciples in the time of the Apostle Paul. There has been conflict down through the ages, even in the time of the Reformation, in the beginning of our church, and even in Christianity today, there is conflict. It is impossible to assume that we are all going to believe the same way about each thing at each stage of learning in our life. But it's interesting to me here as we come to this part of John chapter 3 of what was happening in that conflict of the disciples of John and how he decided to approach it. Now, here's the story. It says in verse 25, "Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about what? About purification, about washing. So John is the master rabbi here. He's the resident theologian. They address the question to John, and they say, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." That's kind of a long way to say Jesus is having a lot of people follow him, and people are being baptized over there where Jesus is. The answer. You see, John's disciples wanted everybody to follow John. Somehow, in his ministry of communicating, the main part of his message just was not sinking in. The main part of John's message was, "I am sent to prepare the way for the Messiah." The Messiah was there. The disciples of the Messiah were baptizing people. And John the Baptist's disciples, though, were somewhat jealous, and they wanted people to be baptized under John's baptism. Notice the illustration that John gives, John the Baptist here. He says in verse 27, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." I wish he would have just went ahead and blurted it out. Instead of saying nothing, he could have said authority. "A man cannot receive spiritual authority unless it be given him from heaven." And to make it a little more plain, he could have said, "This Jesus could not have this authority unless God was blessing him." Verse 28, "You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him." It's kind of like that big sign that we used to see that would say, "What part of no do you not understand?" John, speaking to his disciples, he says, "You have heard me witness this before. I am not the Christ. But I have been sent before him." I am unique in the fact that God has selected me to talk about the Messiah. And then here comes his illustration for the day. This is what I want you to take home with you. John says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. I learned something this week about the friend of the bridegroom. You know, today, typically in weddings, we have a best man, and he stands beside the groom. He represents the best friend of the groom. That's not a new invention. It's been around for a long time. I understand that even today in some Eastern religions it is still practiced. I think Hinduism is one of those that I read of. But in Jewish tradition and in Eastern tradition, it was very common at times for the friend of the bridegroom to go find a wife for the groom. Fellas, how would you like this? Or if you are the bride, how would you like it? So the friend of the bridegroom finds the woman that he thinks would be the best wife for his friend, and he presents her with gifts. He presents her with the best verbal knowledge that he has of his friend. This could take some good salesmanship here. And I don't know if they told lies about their friends or not. But you can imagine the conversation going something like this in an appropriate way. The friend of the bridegroom could say, you know, if you marry my friend, he's going to be faithful to you. That's something every woman looks for in a man. Men are looking for a couple other things, but that's what the women are looking for. And if he's a smart friend of the groom, he would say something like this, and if you're willing to make a home with my friend and marry him, he will provide you with security. He will never let you down. And so the friend of the bridegroom would, as honestly as he could, present all the good attributes of his friend to the prospective bride. But keep in mind, the friend of the groom can never assume the privileges of the groom. He is a friend. He stands between the two of them. It was common in those days, as if what I've studied is correct, the bridegroom never saw her face until after they were married. Interesting story, isn't it? Now, there's another story here, too, because in some cases, the bride would have her special attendant, and she, as a special attendant, would stay with the bride all the way through the marriage ceremony. And in some cases, not all, but some cases, the friend of the groom and the attendant for the bride, they would be next in the next room over on the wedding night. Things are certainly different today, aren't they? But the friend of the bridegroom is what we're focusing on today. And John the Baptist says, I am just the friend of the bridegroom. He knew his role, that God had called him, God had settled him. See, he was a cousin to Christ. There was no doubt in his mind of his job and his role in prophecy. He was there to set the stage so that men and women, boys and girls, would accept Christ as the Savior. And as he was preaching, there were those giving their allegiance to him, and he knows that somewhere in the story, the allegiance to him as the friend of the bridegroom must change and be given totally to Christ as the bridegroom. Very common teaching is that the believers represent the church, or the believers represent the bride. So as John the Baptist says to his disciples, don't get so angry, don't get your thoughts in such a wad here over the fact that Jesus' disciples are baptizing more than you. This is the way it should be. I want people to transfer their allegiance from me to Christ because I am only the bridegroom. They must have been intently listening. And he says, as the bridegroom's friend, though, I can rejoice greatly when I hear his voice. Jesus and John have had discussions. There's no question in Jesus' mind of what John the Baptist is supposed to be doing. There's no question in John the Baptist's mind that his ministry is totally given to transferring his message of allegiance over to Jesus Christ. No question. They stand together in the Jordan River. Jesus comes to John to be baptized. And in a moment of humility, John says to Jesus, you know, you really should be baptizing me instead of me baptizing you. What a privilege to baptize Jesus Christ. There were reasons for that. Maybe someday we can study those. It fulfilled even a part of prophecy and of the atoning process. But here in John 3, in verse 29, it says that the friend of the bridegroom stands and hears him and rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. I want to say today that you too are supposed to be a friend of the groom. You are supposed to be a friend of Jesus Christ. You are supposed to rejoice when you hear his voice speaking to you. There have been men and women of faith and of God mentioned in Scripture who were such friends of God, they could communicate with him and he would communicate back. I think of the story of Enoch as a man the Bible describes as one who walked with God. You are given the wonderful privilege of praying toward becoming and remaining a friend of the bridegroom. Now, what does that mean? It means that you build him up. There are some things about Christ you will never understand, and you don't have to understand. Christ does not need you to defend him in the face of adversity, grief, suffering, and pain. He needs you to be a witness of him, that he is in control. He still knows what's going on. And what we don't understand now, we will understand later. Somebody say amen. And my question to you is, as He is the wonderful Savior, the precious Savior, and His Word is given to you through music and the Scripture and the prayers of other people, and you have conviction as you're spending private time with God, or even in public time with God, you can have a conviction sitting right here today, surrounded with people. Your greatest joy shall come as you remain and grow to be a friend of the bridegroom, who is Jesus. I encourage you today, spend some intent time, intentional, purposeful time, learning who He is, what He enjoys, and as you do so, your heart will burn with a desire to share that with someone who does not know Him. That's kind of reflected in the idea of finding a bride for the bridegroom, and the bride being someone who can be led to love Jesus as the groom. That's my prayer, and that's my hope for you today.